The call of the rooster and the pour of the coffee. You know you're tuned in to Rosie on the House. Good morning, Arizona. Welcome to my house. You can join the conversation and feel free to do so by dialing 1-888-767-4348. We're here in the garden, the first hour of the program, as we are always. And this particular Saturday morning, we are especially focusing in on trees.
Yes, sir. It's the third Saturday of the month, which means we are talking trees. And John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service, our local certified arborist, is sitting right here, ready to take your calls at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. And a feature we've also started doing recently is each month we talk about a specific tree. We started off with the Palo Verde. We've covered the ironwood. We've covered the desert willow. And today we are talking
mesquite trees.
I would propose, given the storms that blew through the valley the last couple of weeks, we talk about the blown over tree.
Yeah, there are plenty of
those. We'll get around to that.
Boy, man.
I'm sure we'll get around to
that. Wow. All right. The mesquite tree. Which variety? Aren't there like 100 different varieties of mesquites?
There's a lot of mesquite trees available. There's primarily, you know, three that we see a lot of: the Chilean mesquite, the Argentine mesquite, and then our desert mesquite is really a beautiful tree. They are so popular. You see the desert mesquites quite often in the local desert areas, in the natural areas around town. But they're so nice because they're durable. They're pretty low to the ground, so they are pretty storm resistant if you kind of allow the main branches to drape down a little bit lower, the way that they naturally grow. And just the contrast of the Chilean and the Argentine mesquite, the contrast of the bark and the leaf, is really an attractive tree and extremely popular. They achieve their landscape purpose very quickly as well. That's why landscapers like to install them and why homeowners love them, because you put them in and within 3 or 4 years you have a pretty sizable tree. And like I said, they're a very elegant and stately tree and people like them.
And somebody first moving here sees all those little tiny leaves, like, man, it can't be any possibly shade off of that. Those leaves are, you know, the size of a lint out of your pocket.
Yeah, they're pretty small. Yeah, but the foliage is very, very dense, and it provides quite a nice shaded canopy. And, of course, as they get taller, they provide more and more shade. There are some drawbacks with the mesquite, and anyone who has one will agree with this, that they drop a lot of litter. You know, pretty much year round, they're either dropping leaves, some blossoms in the spring, and then they put on a seed pod that drops for, you know, several months during the year, and they you just wouldn't want one probably around a swimming pool. Because that litter would end up blowing right into the pool all the time. So if you have a nice open area where you can give it a little space to grow, they're a great tree.
And we'll be covering more about the desert mesquite throughout the broadcast. You also have a special guest in with you today.
I do. It's my pleasure to introduce Bonnie Irvine. Bonnie and her husband own Arizona Big Tree Movers. Her husband is Alan, and they have a 90-inch spade truck, which allows them to transplant trees. They can come in and actually pick your tree up and move it to another location, and it's quite a unique service. We have used Alan and Bonnie to move several trees. In fact, Alan planted about 7 trees at my house, and several of the citrus trees we have right now were actually moved by them, and we have enjoyed those for many, many years. So, hello, Bonnie. It's good to see you here.
Thank you, John. It's really a pleasure to be here. And fortunately, Alan has planted a few more than 7 trees at my house.
Well, I'm very curious about this. So, this is, you said, a 90-inch spade.
Correct.
Okay. So, do you first go to the new site, use that spade and dig out dirt, and then you go get the other tree, dig it up, and then bring it back?
You have got the process absolutely down pat. That's exactly what we do. We go to whatever the final location is, pick up the hole, dig the hole, take it to beside the new location. If you're only planting one tree, pick up the new tree, put it back in, and then we have to either hand shovel in the hole, bring our tractor, or a lot of times people will do it themselves.
Now, a 90-inch spade, what does that mean? Is there a certain weight limit? Is there a certain size? How big of a tree can you move with a 90-inch?
Everybody wants to know, what is the biggest tree that we've ever moved? The tallest tree we've ever moved is a 67-foot Robusta palm tree. We will never do that again.
A little top heavy?
A little spongy. The widest tree we've ever moved is a 30-foot Lysolomon that was on site, and that was the only reason we were able to do that, because you do have to be able to get down the street if you need to. And the biggest tree in caliper size, which is measured 1 foot off of the ground level, the width of that, was a 14-inch pine that we brought in out of Eloy, and it was about 33 feet tall.
Very interesting. Well, we appreciate you joining us. And one of the reasons that John brought you in today is you are the president-elect of the Arizona Community Tree Council. Do I have that right?
Absolutely.
The incoming president.
Incoming president. They call me vice president and whatever else they feel like.
And when does that become official? Is that at the next month's conference?
It will start the first of the fiscal year in 2015.
Well, thank you for joining us. We'll be talking about the Arizona Community Tree Conference coming up in September. But now we've got Laura that wants to join the conversation, talking pine tree. Laura, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Unfortunately, my question is not about a mesquite. I have a very tall pine tree, and a couple of the branches are kind of growing down a little bit, or they look like they're weeping kind of. Maybe it didn't get enough water or something, but it's probably 50 foot tall, something like that. And some of the branches, since they're hanging, they're in the way, and I'd like to trim them, and I don't know if I should seal the edge of the tree where I cut it off with some kind of tar stuff or something, because there's a tree across the street that they lost, I guess, because of some kind of a beetle or something.
Now, have you already done the trimming of those branches?
I have not yet.
Well, pines are a little bit difficult to trim. Are you going to only trim the branch back a little ways, or lift it up a certain height and then keep the branch on the tree but just shorten it?
No, I was actually going to cut it at the trunk.
Okay. Yeah, that's possible. You know, sometimes the lower branches on pines, they do drape down a little bit lower, and they're a little smaller sometimes in diameter than the ones above them, and those can eventually be trimmed off. In answer to your question about the pruning paint, it's not recommended that you use pruning paint. It's kind of an old habit that sort of died hard. It isn't. The science has shown that by putting pruning paint over a pruning cut, it actually can cause more problems than it's helping. The tree has its own ability to compartmentalize that injury and seal over that wound. And by putting a pruning paint, you actually can trap pathogens underneath the paint, which can lead to even further problems. So,
uh-huh.
No, don't put anything on it. Not advisable.
Well, that makes my job a lot easier.
It is.
And is it, now I've already pruned it up. It's probably pruned up from the ground maybe 5 feet, 6 feet maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And it obviously continues to get taller. And sometimes I'll thin out some of the smaller in diameter branches, and I'll do it right at the trunk. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's all right, too. What we recommend with pine trees is to just remove the deadwood primarily, and some of those smaller little crossing branches, little small diameter branches in between the others, you can take those out. Remember, though, that pine trees do not, they do not regenerate new growth. So once you remove branches, any of those smaller branches, they will not be replaced. So be very, very conservative in pruning your pine trees.
We appreciate the call. You had mentioned pruning, and one of our talking points today was pruning versus trimming.
Yes.
That's a big difference, and I learned yesterday at the Arizona Nursery Association Shade Conference, you don't ever call an arborist a tree trimmer.
Well, yes, there are some important distinctions to be made. There's a lot of terms that are used in advertising, and you'll have tree services or landscapers talking about pruning your trees or sculpting them or lacing them or windsailing, or they'll be topping, or any number of different words to define certain types of pruning. But we prefer to use the word pruning, because it does, there's very many types of pruning. And I think it's important to clarify what you're planning to do. A lot of times, customers are confused. They know their trees need attention, but they're not even sure what to request. Well, to clear up the confusion, the ANSI standards were developed, which helped to define terms, to help to define the types of pruning cuts that were made, and to help contractors to be able to more properly specify what was going to be done. And it's sort of like having a contractor who has a blueprint. They are able to show you what they plan to do. And the ANSI specifications and standards for pruning kind of act like a blueprint. They help the contractor and the consumer and actually the technician who ends up, the arborist who goes and does the work, to be on the same page. The ANSI standards specify that you need to declare what the objective is, what you're planning to do. In this case, maybe remove dead wood, raise them up for vertical clearance, provide some side clearance. And then once you've determined your objectives, then you can select five different main types of pruning: cleaning, thinning, reducing, raising, and restoring. And then you go beyond that to specify the minimum and maximum branch diameters that are going to be removed. Plus, you can specify the maximum percentage of foliage in the entire tree. And once you've made set those specifications, it's very, very easy for a customer to know what's going to be done. We recommend working with a tree service that abides by the ANSI standards, because you'll be a lot happier. You'll know what's going to be done. And even if you don't work with that contractor, you can take their specifications and go to the next contractor and be able to bid a little more intelligently, to ask the next contractor, I'd like this to be done on my tree.
Man, that sounds like a lot of work. You should get paid for that or something.
Well, the ANSI standards have given us a lot of lot of happy customers who know what we need to do.
Call now to get your tree questions answered by ISA-certified arborist John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service. So give me the hand.